Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome here on this Family Day weekend, as Eldon mentioned. And before we really dive into it and continue in our series of Ephesians, I just want to, just from the bottom of my heart, to you guys say how thankful I am to be a part of this family. Right. I know all of our families, right? We've got our quirks, we've got our difficulties. The church is the same way, but it's beautiful that despite those differences and despite the disagreements we may have at certain times, right? Like, God's grace is greater than that. And he unites all of us together. And so even just having the privilege of being able to stand out here and look out and see the diversity and the beauty of this family, it is a very cool thing. And so that's going to be kind of part of what we'll talk about this morning. As I mentioned, we are continuing in our series on the letter of Ephesians, right? Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, and we've titled this series Gospel-Shaped People. And we've done that intentionally because we do believe that the gospel needs to shape us, needs to shape, you know, everything that we do. It needs to shape the way that we view the world. It needs to be the very lens that we actually view everything, so to speak. And so today we're going to be diving into the beauty and the power of the gospel, right? The gospel, the message, the good news that transforms lives, that actually unites us all as one body and calls us to share that hope with the world. Right, the good news that needs to be shared, not a gift that needs to be kept to ourselves, but a gift that desperately needs to be given to all of those that are in desperate need of it. As we explore this passage in Ephesians, we're going to look at three key truths that shape our understanding and actually our involvement in God's mission. First, we'll see the mystery of Christ revealed. Right, where we discover the incredible truth that through Jesus, people from all backgrounds, right, Jew and Gentile in our text this morning, are united in one body in the church. This is a beautiful reminder of how God has brought all of us together, but he's done so by his grace and through his grace. Next, we'll explore the mission of the gospel. Again, the mission that we're a part of. Understanding how we, like Paul, are all called to be ministers of this message. Sharing about the unsearchable riches of Christ with others. Again, it's not just about the professionals. It's not just about the missionaries. It's actually a calling that all of us have. And finally, we'll reflect on the confidence that we have, the confidence that we have in Christ, recognizing that our strength and ability to carry out this mission, it doesn't come from within ourselves, but it actually comes from the power of Jesus. Right, whose death and resurrection made all of this possible. And we'll be reminded that God is the one who sustains us. Right? In those moments of difficulty or those moments of sharing the gospel where you just feel like you're a fish out of water, God sustains you. He not only does that, but he empowers you and he works through you to bring his gospel to the world. And so now that the stage is set, so to speak, I do want to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. And this is something that we do out of reverence and respect towards God and his word. So let's pick things up. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though, I'm the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we unpacked the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ. And that is that we are all brought into your family, God, and that Jesus, you unite all things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So our first point and our first key truth, the mystery of Christ revealed. Right? In Ephesians 3, 1 through 6, Paul unveils a profound truth to us, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is now for all people. Right? It's for all people, regardless of their background, regardless of their cultures or the history that they have, the past that they have. As he opens the letter, Paul says this, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles." You see, Paul's imprisonment serves as a testimony to the depth of his commitment to the gospel, right? A message that was so transformative that he was willing to suffer for it. He was willing to be beaten for it. He was willing to be thrown in prison for it. And he was ultimately willing to risk his life for it and die. This message is the mystery of Christ, right? A mystery that was once hidden, but is now revealed to Paul. The mystery is that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs, right? Members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the power of the gospel. And this was a revolutionary truth in the first century, right? Sometimes I feel like we don't actually understand just the depth of what this means, right? This was a deep divide between two very distinct and very different people groups. Right, the Jewish people had long been God's chosen people. We can read all about that in the Old Testament. They were the recipients of his promises. The Gentiles, on the other hand, were seen as outsiders, often excluded from the blessings God had promised to Israel. And when I read this for the first time, when I was studying to prepare for this, when I read that the Gentiles were seen as outsiders, I instantly thought of that book, The Outsiders. I don't know if you have to read it in school, right? But again, there's a contrast between the Socs, I think they are, and the Greasers. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But again, two very distinct groups of people, right, that have no business spending time together are now unified together, brought into the same family, united under Christ by the power of the gospel, right? By the work of Jesus Christ, the division that once stood has been obliterated. No longer were Gentiles to be viewed as distant from God's family. They were actually now fully included. They were actually brought in. They're sharing in the inheritance of God's promises. John MacArthur, in one of his sermons, beautifully captures this in a simple way. He says, it's an important message. It's important for us to understand that Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. It's important for us to understand that everybody who's a Christian is equal to everybody else who's a Christian. Right? Jesus unites all of us. Again, it doesn't matter our past mistakes, who we are now, our social status, our economic status, we are all united. Again, everybody who's a Christian is equal to everybody else who's a Christian. Right? Paul is highlighting something beautiful here. It's the radical unity that comes through Jesus Christ. Again, no matter where we come from, we are all equal in the eyes of God. The church is not meant to be divided by different ways that the world tends to divide things, right? By culture or class or race. Instead, we are bound together in the most unifying force on earth. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This truth is not just a New Testament concept, though. Right? This wasn't God's plan B. He wasn't like, oh, we had the fall and then Jesus is going to eventually come and unite all things. And he wasn't thinking about this on the fly. No, this was his plan. We can read about this in the Old Testament. Right? The Old Testament laid the groundwork for the inclusion of all people in God's plan for salvation. In Genesis 12, 2-3, God promises Abraham, in you, all the families, right? Not some families, not just Jewish families, not just Gentile families, in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. From the very beginning, God's intention was to always bless the entire world through Abraham's descendants. However, this promise was only now being fully realized through the life, death, and resurrection and the revelation that Paul received. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. Right? He's the fulfillment of God's plan to bless all the nations, to draw people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation into his kingdom. As Isaiah 49:6 prophesied, God's servant would not only bring back the lost tribes of Israel, but would be a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Right? Through Jesus, salvation is no longer just for Israel. It is for the entire world. This inclusion is not a new idea again, but it's actually a central theme of Scripture. Right? We see it in the Old Testament, like we just unpacked. We see it with Paul, but we read about it in Revelation. Right? Revelation 5:9, it says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Right? Jesus' blood was shed for all people. His sacrifice unites all believers in a common faith, regardless of earthly distinctions, right? These earthly distinctions that are placed on us by man. Right? The beauty of the gospel is that it bridges all the gaps. There is no divide, no rift too deep that the gospel cannot bridge it. The gospel is not only the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, but also the power that brings about the unity among believers. The Apostle Paul reiterates this in Romans, where he says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Right? There is no longer a dividing line. There's no longer a dividing line between Jew and Gentile. There's no longer any barrier to salvation. The gospel is inclusive. It is for anyone from anywhere. Right? If you call on the name of the Lord, if you repent of your sins and place your faith in him, you will be saved. Right? Regardless of who you are, regardless of where you come from. And the beauty of the church is that it reflects this unity. Again, a diverse body of people from all walks of life, united under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The gospel breaks down every barrier and invites everyone to be a part of God's family. And something I love that my family has done when we were growing up is any time that we go on vacation, we always try to find like a church in that community to attend on a Sunday morning. And if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to, because that is a beautiful thing, right? You instantly step into this building and these people that you come in contact with, they share the most important thing in common with you. They too believe in Jesus. And it's been amazing just to be kind of like all over North America, so to speak, and just to be welcomed with open arms into these buildings, because we're all part of the same family. Right? When people walk through those doors, they feel welcome because of the gospel. It is beautiful, right? The church should be the living, breathing example of this unity. When we gather as the body of Christ, we are actually a glimpse of heaven itself. Right, a community of believers, each one unique, right? Each of us unique, but all united under Christ. And this unity is not something that we can manufacture on our own. We can't do it, right? I was a teenager once. I know what grudges look like. I know what it looks like to be like, I don't like that person. I'm never going to be able to get along with them. It's only going to be through God working a miracle. Well, God does that, right? That's what we're talking about this morning. This is the supernatural work of God's grace. Again, there is no division, no rift too strong, no disagreement that's too great that God's grace doesn't actually cover over it and redeem it. Right? It is only through the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to overcome our differences and become one. Paul's revelation of this mystery has profound implications for how we live today. Right, this is actually applicable to us today, both as individual believers, but also as the church. Right? If the gospel truly unites us as one body in Christ, then we must actively pursue this unity within our communities. So first, we must view others through the lens of the gospel. Right? When we look at someone, whether it's inside of the church or outside of the church, We should see them as someone for whom Christ died for, someone with whom we share a common bond in Christ. Right? Jesus died for my sins, but he also died for your sins. And to view people that way. Right? If we see someone who is different from us, again, different culture or life experience, a different past or a different history, or maybe they do things a little differently than you and that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, we need to remember that the gospel has brought us together as one. This is how the beauty of the gospel transforms not only our hearts, but our relationships with others. Second, we must actively pursue unity within the body of Christ. It is something that we need to protect. We need to protect this unity, right? This means going beyond just keeping things at kind of like a superficial level. I've been there as well. It's easy to go to church at times and walk in the doors and just be like, yep, okay, good morning, good morning. Somebody asks how you are and you don't actually want to tell them. But the beauty of it is that like at church, that should be the place where you feel so comfortable just to open up and say, you know what? I'm not doing good today. And you're going to be encouraged, right? You're going to be brought in. You're going to be embraced by God's family. Right? He's going to work through those people that are around you to encourage you. Right, we must welcome and embrace those who may be outside of our comfort zone as well, or again, who have different life experiences. Because in the church, there is no room for exclusion. This is the mystery and the message that Paul suffered for. Right? Paul suffered for this message. The unity that we have through Christ was something that he was willing to die for. But even more importantly, this is actually the message and the mystery that Jesus died for. Every believer is equal in Christ. And every believer deserves to be a part of God's family. And lastly, we must remember that the church is not just an event that we attend, but a community we belong to. And it's not just this event where we get to come in, kick our feet up, soak in some music, and then that's it, go home, do it all again next week. It's not meant to be like that. It's supposed to be a community. Right, we're a family. We're in it through thick and thin, and we're a family that's united by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are called to love one another no matter what, right? Just as Christ has loved us. Right? Romans 5 speaks to that about how while we were still sinners, while we were still sinning against Jesus, he loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. Right? And that same love should impact the way that we interact with those that are around us. And when we do this, we not only experience the fullness of what it means to be a part of God's family, but we also become a powerful witness. We become a powerful witness to the world of the beauty and the power of the gospel. Right? Our world that is so broken and so divided, we have an opportunity to show the world that we can still be united. Despite our differences, despite our disagreements, we can be united under Christ. There can still be unity. We have hope in this gospel, right? The mystery of Christ revealed is one of breathtaking beauty. The gospel is for everyone. It is for all of us, and it brings us all into one family. As a church, we are called to embody this unity, reflecting the reconciling power of the gospel in our relationships with one another, and in our mission to the world. So let's live out this unity, right? Showing the world the power of the gospel to break down barriers, to bring healing and restoration and peace. This is our second point, right? The mission of the gospel. The revelation of Christ is beautiful, but we now have this mission to actually go and share it with others. In Ephesians 3, 7 to 8, Paul provides a clear and humble understanding of his role in this mission of sharing the gospel. He says this, "Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You see, Paul acknowledges that his role as a minister of the gospel is not because of him. It's not because of any inherent worthiness that he has or any capabilities of his own, but it is solely because of God's grace. Right? He refers to this mission as being entrusted with the task of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? This phrase is powerful because it speaks to the infinite depth of the gospel. We're never going to be able to fully comprehend how beautiful it is. And man, like even just like unpacking scripture, it is so, so beautiful, but it is so much deeper than we realize, right? The beauty, the truth, and the life-giving power found in Christ, right, can never fully be exhausted or understood in its entirety. For us today, the gospel remains just as rich and full of life as it did for Paul. But it's easy to forget that the mission of sharing Christ's love, grace, and salvation is actually, it's for all of us. It's not just for those that we think are equipped. It's not just for those that maybe have a big platform that they get to stand upon. It's not just for those that speak eloquently or for those that have a theological degree on the wall of their office. But the truth is that God has equipped all of us. He has equipped all of us differently and uniquely, whether it's through speaking, or whether it's through teaching or serving or simply listening, right? Listening and offering a word of encouragement. We all have a part to play in this grand mission that God has. But just like Paul, we may feel unworthy and we may feel incapable at times, but we are called to share the gospel in the way that God has uniquely gifted us. Right, each conversation that we have, each moment of kindness that we can express to somebody else, and each opportunity to testify about Christ continues to contribute to this mission. Paul's sense of unworthiness is evident when he says he is the very least of all the saints. I think that is such an encouragement for us, right? When we look at scripture, we can quickly figure out that Paul was possibly the greatest missionary of all time. Right, but he says that he is the very least of all the saints. But despite his humble view of himself, God in his grace, despite this feeling of unworthiness that he had, God in his grace chose Paul to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, right? To reveal the mystery of Christ. Paul's humility shows that God often calls the unworthy. Not only that, he often calls the weak to accomplish his purposes. And it's through God's grace and power that the mission is carried out. And today we can feel like we aren't equipped. We aren't equipped and we aren't ready to share the gospel with other people. Maybe we're shy. That used to be me. Oh man, I used to be so shy. Every Sunday morning when we went to church as a kid, I would run behind my dad's legs and I wouldn't let anybody talk to me. Maybe we don't feel knowledgeable enough to talk to other people. Maybe you think to yourself, you know what? I'm not a biblical scholar, right? I'm not allowed to talk about that with other people. Or maybe we just don't think that we have anything to offer or anything to bring to the table. But let's be encouraged and remember that God doesn't always call the equipped, but he always equips those that he calls. Right? When we are weak, when we feel small and insignificant, God's power is actually made perfect. His mission will never fail. And it's never going to fail because it rests in his strength. It doesn't rest in what we bring to the table. It doesn't rest in our strength. It rests in the finished work of the cross, right? That is completed. It is finished. And that is the truth that we get to stand upon. His mission will not fail, because it rests in his strength. Just as God also assured Moses, this is another example of his presence when he sent him to deliver Israel. He promised his presence and power to us as we step into the mission that he has given us. In Exodus 3, we get to read about how Moses, a man who was hesitant and uncertain, but also, might we add in there, a murderer, he was uncertain of his ability to lead God's people out of Egypt. But when God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh and deliver the Israelites, Moses responds with doubt, asking, "Who am I?" Have you ever asked yourself that before? Or found yourself in a moment where you thought, "Who am I?" I experience that every single Sunday morning, whether I'm hosting or whether I'm preaching, right? Who am I? I bring nothing to the table. Right? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God's response is clear, and it's reassuring. It's reassuring for Moses, but it's also reassuring for us. He says this, but I will be with you. So in those moments where you're asking yourself, who am I? I feel unworthy. I feel, you know, not good enough to share or to preach the gospel. Remember that God says, I will be with you. God's promise to Moses mirrors what Paul experienced as well. Again, God does not call the equipped. He actually equips the called. And this promise, it holds true for us today. The same way that Moses felt inadequate, we often feel unworthy to share the message of Christ. Right? It's so important. It's so valuable. We feel unworthy to share it. Yet God assures us that he will be with us in that, giving us the power and strength to accomplish what he calls us to do. Right? This idea of God's grace being the driving force behind the mission is also spoken about in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." You see, Paul recognizes that any work that he has done for the gospel is entirely due to God's grace. It's not about what he has done. It's about what God has done and about what God is doing. Right? He's boasting. His boasting is not in his own achievements. Right? He, in that passage, admits to persecuting the church. Right? His achievements aren't something that he can necessarily be proud of at times. But his boasting is in the power of God that has worked through him. Again, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, showing that even in weakness, God's power is demonstrated and his mission advances. God didn't just call Paul to preach to the Gentiles. He also called him to transform him, right? And equipped him to carry out this mission. Right, no matter his past mistakes, no matter his shortcomings. And for us, this means that we don't need to have it all together to be used by God. But I'm so thankful for that. Man, I fail time and time and time and time again. I could have said time and time again like 15 more times there, but figured I'd spare you the trouble. Right, we don't need to have it all together. No matter where we are in our journey of faith, we are capable of sharing the gospel with other people. Yes, it might feel intimidating. And yes, it might be so overwhelming at times. But remember, just like Paul, our inadequacies don't disqualify us. Rather, they actually make room for God's strength to shine through. We can trust, right? We can trust that God will give us what we need to step into his mission. Whether that's a listening ear for a friend that is struggling, or a simple conversation about faith with a passerby, or the courage to actually step out of our comfort zone and reach someone in need of Christ. The Apostle Paul's recognition of his weakness and reliance on God's grace brings about another passage to mind, a beautiful passage, 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Right, Paul's ministry was marked by weakness. Yet in that weakness, God's power was made so evident. This is such a crucial point for us to grasp. Right? The gospel is not about human strength. The gospel is not about our abilities. It is about God's strength being made perfect in our weakness. Right? Just as Paul and Moses experienced God's sufficiency, we too can rely on his power. Right? We can rely on his power as we step out into the mission of the gospel. The mission of the gospel is not a mission of self-reliance, but it's a mission of grace-fueled obedience. Right? It is all dependent upon God's grace. In John 20, Jesus commissions his disciples saying, "As the Father has sent me, even so
I am sending you. Right? Jesus breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit, equipping them for the mission ahead. The same way that Jesus was sent by the Father, he now sends his followers out to proclaim the gospel to the world. And the same thing happens to us, right? God calls us into this mission as well. This mission is not just for a select few. It wasn't just for Jesus. It wasn't just for the 12. It wasn't just for the apostles. It's actually for all believers. It's for all of us that are in this room. But the same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus and the apostles empowers us today. We are not alone in this mission. The power of God works through us by his Spirit, giving us the courage and strength to carry the gospel into our broken world. In verse 8 of our passage, Paul speaks specifically to preaching. He says, "To me, though, I'm the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul further emphasizes this in Romans, where he says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" He then declares, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You might be thinking, like, "Matt, that's all great. What are you doing up there? Just like, you know, boosting yourself up. This is talking about preaching. I don't preach." But the beauty of preaching is that it can look so very different. Again, this mission isn't just for those that have the title of pastor. It's not just for those that are missionaries. It is for all of us, right? We have teachers that are in there right now and they are preaching the gospel to our kids. We have youth leaders on Thursday evening that are preaching the gospel to our students who desperately need to hear it. Right, in our homes with our own children, in those moments where it's before bed and you're reading a Bible story to them and you are praying, you are preaching the gospel to them. We are all called to share the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose again and that there can be forgiveness. We are all brought in to this mission. And you want to know the beauty of it is that we're not in this mission alone. Again, we have the Holy Spirit, right? We're empowered by God. But we also have confidence. We have confidence through Christ and what he has done. And that is our third and final point, the confidence we have through Christ. As we've seen, the mission of the gospel is one that is extended to all believers. Again, no matter our background or no matter our sense of qualification, but for all of us, right? Whether we feel fully equipped or not, there is one foundational truth that gives us confidence and one foundational truth that sustains all of us. And that's the death and resurrection of Jesus. Right? Without Christ's work on the cross, right? Without the finished work of the cross, the gospel would not be the life-changing message that it is today. It would just be a story. In Ephesians 3:11-12, Paul writes, "This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." It is through the finished work of Jesus, right? It is by Christ that we have boldness, we have access, and we have confidence. We are not relying on our own strength, but we're relying on the completed work of Christ who conquered sin and death and the grave. Right? The confidence that we have as believers is not because we are perfect. It's not because we are without fault. It's because Christ has secured our salvation. Hebrews 4 says this, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But he has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world, and his victory over sin ensures us that we can walk in confidence, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us. You can read about that in Romans 8. As Paul reminds us and reminds the Ephesians, our boldness is rooted in our faith in Christ. And again, this boldness is not a boast in ourselves. It is most definitely not, but it's a recognition that it is Christ who works in us and through us. Romans 5 verses 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access," right? Access to the Father by faith, "into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Right? He is the one who equips, right? God is the one who equips. He is the one who strengthens. He is the one who sustains us as we walk out our calling to share the gospel. When we step into the mission of sharing the gospel, like we just talked about, again, we can often feel inadequate, uncertain, and now I want to add that we can even feel fearful. We can be scared. I've been there before, nervous of what people were going to think of me, scared that I might lose friends or family when I share the gospel with them. Right? We may worry about saying the wrong thing or being rejected, but it's important to remember that the gospel is not dependent on our perfection. It's not dependent on our eloquence, but the gospel is empowered by the Holy Spirit and sustained by the work of Christ. And this truth should give us incredible confidence. Again, we are not alone in this mission. Jesus is working through us as we remain connected to him. Our confidence is not in our own abilities, but in the sufficiency of Christ. The gospel mission and our role within it is sustained by the grace and the power of Jesus. And we are simply vessels, right? We're vessels. We're weak and we're imperfect vessels, but we're vessels nonetheless. But through Christ, we are made effective. The Apostle Paul fully understood this reality, right? He had faced persecution. He had faced hardships. He had faced immense trials through his ministry, yet he continued to boldly proclaim the gospel everywhere that he went. Our confidence, then, is in the power of God working through our frailty. Again, when we are weak, he is strong. Our imperfections are the very thing that displays his perfection. It's not about us doing the work on our own. It's about God doing the work through us. As we continue on the mission, we can draw confidence not only from the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also from the incredible truth that we are a part of a unified body of believers. Again, the beauty of the church is that we are all different, yet we're united under Christ. And Paul speaks to this in Ephesians 3 verses 9 and 10 by saying, "And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." And I want to pick up briefly on this word manifold. It's one of those words where when I've read this passage in the past, I kind of just like blitz past it because it seems kind of boring. I mean, just read manifold, I'm like, oh, this doesn't seem too significant. But it actually is. It's of quite significance. Manifold means diverse. It means multifaceted. It means variegated. If you're into plants, apparently that is a term that has to do with plants and how they're so distinct from one another, like even down to the way that they are made up and the way that these plants are wired. And that's why I think it's actually very, very applicable to us, right? We are all so different. And the fact that people from every tribe, tongue, and nation can come together as one body is a testament to God's incredible wisdom and his power. And even just that statement again, every tribe, every tongue, and nation. Sometimes I think we can actually go too fast or too quickly past that as well. I mean, take a look out into our world today and you see nations that are so divided, people that absolutely detest one another. And what the Bible says is that even those people under Christ are going to be united, right? Jesus has the power. Jesus is Lord. He is ruler and he is king over all things. And there is nothing that he cannot redeem and no people that he cannot unite, right? This unity within the church is a direct result of the gospel. And this is so refreshing, especially when we live in a world that is so divisive. I don't know if you've experienced this before in your own life, but we're constantly being pitted against one another, right? I've had people even straight up to my face say, oh, have fun believing in your fairy tale, right? And I held, you know, just this sinfulness in my own heart and this wickedness towards this person that told me that, only to later see that they actually came to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Even those people that we don't get along with, even those people where I'm like, God speaks to us and he's like, oh, go talk to that person. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no, why did it have to be that one person that I didn't want to talk to? Right? God unites all people, right? And the church is not only also a place where we simply come to receive, but it's a community where we are equipped, right? So we're united in all things by Christ, but it's also a place where we are equipped. It's also a place where we are sent and supported in our mission to share the gospel. Right? God's wisdom is displayed. God's manifold wisdom, right? His diverse wisdom is displayed in the church, and we are invited to be a part of that. The local church is God's design for his people to gather. It's important, right? Jesus paid for it with his life, right? We are a body that reflects God's power, his grace, and the unity of Christ. There is no lone ranger when it comes to Christianity. We're not supposed to do it by ourselves. We're not supposed to walk this journey alone. R.C. Sproul puts it a little bit more bluntly. He says, the church is not a luxury or an option for the Christian. It is a necessity. It is where we are built up. It's where we're instructed and sent out to serve God's purposes in the world. We are called to serve and to be served. We are brought into, again, God's manifold wisdom, into this beautiful family that God has given us. What a gift we have in the church. And so as we go from here into our week and into the days and months and years ahead, may we walk with confidence because of the work that Christ has done on our behalf. Right? That is the foundation upon which we get to stand. And that the gospel gives us boldness and it gives us access to God. And it's through his power that we are sustained for this mission. All right, no matter how weak we feel, no matter how weak you feel or how inadequate you think you are, we are confident that God works through us to accomplish his purposes. And again, we're not called to do this alone. The beauty of the church is that we are a part of a unified body. Right? Each member playing a unique role in the mission. And so whether you are, you know, whether you serve by welcoming people, whether you serve by setting up the stage or leading in the worship ministry, or you're teaching or you're leading, or you're having a coffee with somebody around one of those round tables in the back after church, every single part of the body is essential to seeing that this mission is successful, right? And as a church, we have this mission. We want to see the entire Eastern Fraser Valley transformed by the gospel, right? We want to see Agassiz transformed by the gospel. And we say that it's our mission, but really it's God's mission. Right? We've prayerfully discerned that we believe that this is his will, right? To see people drawn into repentance and led to a relationship with him. And I just have to say once again that I am so encouraged to be a part of this family, to be a part of this team. Right, we are unified. We come into this space and we can leave our differences at the door. Again, with the same thing that we have in common is that we are all sinners. Jesus died for our sins and he has united us and he has brought us in to his family. And so let us serve one another. Right, let us support one another. And let us work together in the local church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. The gospel unites us in Christ. It empowers us with his grace, and it fills us with the confidence that it is through his death and resurrection that we are actually able to share this message with the world, right? A message of hope. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. And we are so thankful for Paul's wisdom in this and the revelation that you gave him that all are united under Christ. And so I just thank you that we can be a part of this family in the church, right? The local church unified in our belief in you. So God, I pray that you would empower all of us, rather that we would have the confidence in knowing that it isn't us who works, it is you through us. So if there are any of us that are struggling right now with feelings of insignificance or weakness, God, may we know that it is through that you make your perfection known. So God, again, we are so thankful that you sent your son Jesus to earth to die for our sins so that we could be free. That is a message of hope. And I just pray, God, that we would look to share that message with all those that we come in contact with, remembering that the family of God is for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.